without apology. It's not wrong here. I belong here. So you might as well get used to me. My mother may I be the queen, but my father's king of everything. And I'm adopted into the family. So I guess that makes me royalty. And he's given me dominion, yeah. Power, dominion, yeah. Everything I do is blessed. Promise me some great success. I'm the authority, God of the majority, living in my liberty. So you might as well get used to me, yeah. Said living life. Promise me some great success. I'm the majority, God of the majority, living in my liberty. So you might as well get used to me, yeah. So living life, it's not wrong here. I belong here. Get something in your hands. Get something in your hands. Get something in your hands. And wave it in the air. 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 And I said one, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. So you might as well get used to me, yeah. Said live it life.
Thank you. Then all things come of thee, O Lord. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
that I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Amen. And we are who he says that we are. You are who he says that you are. I am whom he says that I am. Amen. We thank God to know, guess what? We're validated in the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. Amen. This morning. Amen. We praise God for Jesus. Amen. Everybody in the building. But how about our children? Amen. Amen. I am whom you say that I am. Amen. Giving honor to God who is the first in my life. Amen. Thank God for everybody. Amen. I want to thank God for my mother. Amen. Mother Janie Wright. On this Mother's Day. And also thank God for my wife. Amen. A lot, and we thank God for her. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of 1 Samuel, to the book of 1 Samuel, amen. The book of 1 Samuel, beginning at the first verse, beginning at the first verse, amen. And 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Amen. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. That was his first wife. Yeah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Yeah. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife to all her sons and her daughters' portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. That means he gave her a double portion. And the reason why is because he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up his womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. That's the other wife. She provoked Hannah. And therefore she wept and did not eat. And said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than to thee than 10 sons? And y'all know he just messed up. He just messed up. Amen. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon my affliction, because she couldn't have children, of thy handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child, Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, but her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel shall grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early. She gave that burden to the Lord. She gave that burden through prayer. She gave it over to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. He came in unto his wife. And the Lord remembered Hannah. Amen. And the Lord remembered Hannah. And we know the rest. She bare a son named Samuel. And Samuel was the prophet that would help through God to get Israel back on track. Amen. Because of the degradation. And they fell from just a holy state. But thank God for Samuel. Samuel was born. And he became the priest. Not only did he become, the prophet, but he started a school of prophets, of men that would go out and say, proclaim what thus saith the Lord. But if we could give it a title, amen, would be, and the Lord remembered Hannah. And the Lord remembered Hannah. And if I could give it a subtitle, would be, I come to the garden alone. Amen. I come to the garden alone. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you alone are worthy. You're worthy. You're holy. You're just. You're wise. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient, oh God. There's none like you. There's none that can compare to you. We extol you in this place. We exalt you in this place. God, we lift you up. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, oh God. And we give you all of the praise. God, I pray that you humble me. Break my heart to the things that, God, you once said and spoken in this place. God, you said, ask, it shall be given. You said, seek, ye shall find. You said, knock, and the door shall be open. We thank you, oh God, because we have not a great high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But in all points he was tempted as were we, yet without sin. We thank you, oh God, because we know you to be seriously a burden bearer. We know you to be a heavy load sharer. David said, hear my prayer, oh God, and attend unto my cry. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead us to that rock that is higher than I. So God, we thank you and we bless you. Have your way in this place. Every heart, and even those missing a mother, even those maybe missing a child, God, we pray that you meet them in a place like only you can. Oh God, we know you're able and you're capable, even as you met Hannah in a place. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Just thank God for who he is, and I thank God for I didn't do it. And usually I get my wife to sing this song, I Come to the Garden Alone, while the dew is still on the rose bush. Amen. And the still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God, he discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me, it's like the song they just got done singing, that I am his own. And the joy we share, as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen? And I'm telling you, where do people go that are burdened and beat up by life, especially those who don't know the Lord? Where do they go? Where do they turn to when the trials of life, because Jesus said in this life, you shall have what?
Tribulation.
But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. Amen. And guess what, y'all? There's no escaping of the burdens of life. There's no escaping without Christ of the trials and the tribulations of life. Amen. It's only Jesus that can meet us perfectly in a place of pain. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Amen. And we see a world, man, we see a world that's spiraling out of control. We see a world, amen, that's heavy, that's burdened down, that's sorrowful, amen. But we also see a world that's trying to silence the burden and the pain by the things of this world. And I'm telling y'all, this world can't do it. This world can't meet the pain, can't meet the burden, can't meet the sorrow, only like Jesus Christ can. And we will beat the devil. We will. We will beat the devil trying to get something, trying to get someone, trying to get some substance or something that can take the burden and the pain that only Jesus Christ can meet. And I thank God for the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, it says, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and of heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke where? Upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will, it's a promise, you will find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. And y'all, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. He either is going to hate one and love the other and hate the other. No man can serve two masters. Amen. No man can do it. You can't straddle that fence. You're either locked up in step with Jesus Christ, or you're seeking the things of this world. And I'm here to tell you, man, the devil has bamboozled us and delusioned us to think that we can some way shape or find fulfillment in this world. Amen. The devil has put us to sleep and caused us to chase through habits, through addictions, through the bottle, through the pill, through the drugs, through a man or through a woman. And I'm telling you, that's, man, nobody can meet that pain. Nobody can meet that sorrow. Nobody can meet that hurt but Jesus Christ. Amen. And y'all know what's like? It's like, man, we had, and I shared this a while back. We had this back in my old building. We had a computer department. It was where we had all the servers. All the servers of the company were in this. Now things are on the cloud. So we don't have, y'all know what the cloud is? I don't know, man, about the cloud. Amen. But we used to have all of our company information, our monies, our financials, everything was hooked on these servers, right? And it was a big old room. And I was a facilities manager even back then. And our job was to oversee the HVAC in that room because that room would get very hot very quickly, even in the winter, if the HVAC shut down, right? And so we had a big thermometer, like a clock, that when the finger of that thermometer reached a certain degrees, right, it would shut the whole computer room down. It would shut it down, right? And so some folks, it wasn't me. That's all I'm going to say. It wasn't me. Thought it a good idea, man, because it had shut down a couple times, man. And when it shuts down, man, the company's alerted. The CEOs and stuff are alerted. Hey, man, we have to hurry up and scramble to get that thing back online. And really, it was a safety net. We knew that, man, listen, where they had that thing set really wouldn't do any damage, but it would just trigger something. So we said, man, we know this thing could get a lot hotter than that. So somebody took and stuck a pin cap, a 2-cent part, and stuck it at like 80 degrees or whatever the mark was. So if that finger ever hit that point, that pin cap would stop that arm from going up any higher. Right? Right? And so here we have a couple million dollar room that was invested. But a cap was in the place so that when that room would heat up, guess what? That room would keep operating like nobody's business. And there are some people in the world that are still operating. They're burdened and don't even know it. They're in pain. They're suffering. They're going through. Amen. But we think we're doing all right. And I'm telling you, guess what? If you're not in love with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a love relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what, man? You are not doing okay. The Bible says, Psalms 91:1, he that dwelleth where? In the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You just figured out how to turn the engine light off, but the engine is still running rough. Amen. Y'all know they got these codes now. Just turn the engine light off before it gets inspected. Amen. But there's still something going on. There's still some hurt there. But what we figured out to do is how to drown our sorrow and how to drown our pain and how to drown our hurt. And we glaze it over. But if we really stop getting this word, we would know that something is off and something is wrong. Then we wonder why anxiety and depression is off the charts. We wonder why, amen, stress and mental illness, amen, is like it was never before. We need to know that God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help even in the time of trouble. And I thank God for Hannah, amen. Amen. Even all she went through. Even all that she went through with the other wife and how she picked on her and mocked her. Amen. And even the children, amen, I believe. Because the Bible just lets us know. And even how her husband, he loved her. But guess what? The husband couldn't even relate to the pain that she was experiencing. Amen. And I'm telling y'all, listen, there's no substitute in this world for spending intimate time in the Word of God. And I put it in my paper. I said, Lord, help me. Because so many times, man, I'm studying, I'm getting in the Word to preach a message. And God spoke clearly last night to me. He said, man, don't wait till you got to preach to get to this place. But on Monday, we should be intimate with God. On Tuesday, we should be intimate with God. On Wednesday, we should be intimate with God. And guess what, y'all? Intimacy is not just for the preachers. Intimacy is not just for the teachers. But intimacy is for everybody in this place. And the Bible says in our text in 1 Samuel 3 that this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And two sons, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, amen, the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time of Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah, his wife, and to all the sons of her daughters their portions. And guess what? He gave them portions. Now you see, the Bible says she had daughters and sons. So she had at least four kids, maybe more. And Hannah didn't have any. So because he loved her, he gave her double for her trouble. Because I really believe he loved his wife. But the Bible says, but the Lord has shut up her womb. And then her adversary also perverts her sore for to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. And that's what I said, man, that's mean. You think this other mother that had children already would have been like, Hannah, don't worry about it. You think she would have embraced her? But y'all know this is the spirit of the world. Kick a man while he's down. Amen. And if you look on the internet bullying and all this stuff, we see it. How another man, I saw a video, another man is getting beat up. And everybody's standing around him. Right? Just looking, saying, let him go, let him fight, let him fight, let him fight. And this other man is getting beat up. Guess what? God forbid if I'm ever in that situation. First of all, who are these people holding these cameras? Because guess what? I'm going to get beat up just like the other person because I'm going to try to stop this foolishness. And we see it. We see it. It's everywhere. This stuff of just laughing and comedy and all this stuff that we see and that we contend with. And people just sit back and laugh at it. You know why? We laugh because we're trying to deaden something in us. We're trying to clear the conscience in us that we can just laugh it off. But the Bible says there's a day coming. Amen. The judgment will go to start in the house of the Lord. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that will he also reap. Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. While you still have breath in your body. So not only was she depressed, because anybody in that time, when they couldn't have children, they were considered to be a curse. When a woman couldn't have children, that was like a curse. And she was mocked. And that's the world we live in. But then in verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? And I'm shocked she didn't slap him. Sometimes, boy, you got to know when to have some shut up grace. Amen. Because as men, sometimes we want to do the right thing. We want to say the right thing. And even when we go visit people that are sick, or going through, sometimes we don't even know what to say. And sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Just sit there. Just be there for her. Amen. Just be there. He would have been better off, I think. But as much as he loved his wife, guess what, y'all? Him relating to her was a million miles away from what she was feeling. Yeah. And I'm telling y'all, listen, We're created for the Lord. Listen to this. The Bible says in Psalms, amen, 139. This is what it says. Listen, listen. And guess what? Man, the church has gotten us conditioned to think that we're going to get it in here. The church has gotten us conditioned to think, man, we need to worship in spirit, experience and all that to come in this church. No, it's not done in this place. But it's done in our secret closet. Amen. It's done in that secret place. Amen. And I don't know about you, how many got a closet? And guess what? That closet may be your car. That closet may be your office chair. For some people, the closet may be the bathroom. But it's a place that you can go in and escape the things of this world. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalms 109, Lord, thou hast searched me. 139, verse 1. Thou know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought even afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with some of my ways. Oh, I just want to make sure. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. And then in verse 6 he says, such knowledge is too wonderful. So not only know physically where I am, not only does he know psychologically where you are, but guess what? Spiritually, the very depths of your soul, something that nobody else knows about, Jesus is able to get there. He's able to meet you in a place of pain. He's able to meet you in a place of sorrow. Amen. And David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. When God said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say that about any other creature. He didn't say that about the rocks or the mountain or the seas or the flowers or the snow-capped mountains or Niagara Falls. As beautiful as this creation is, and the galaxies upon galaxies, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And the Bible says he breathed into us the breath of God, and we became a living soul. First point that I have, man, it got personal. It's got to get personal. And that's why when we say, I go to the garden alone, we see Moses, God got him alone. We see Jesus, he got alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even though his disciples were with him, guess what? He was alone. About a stone throws away. Amen. Amen. See, the problem is we can't get used to getting alone. Man, we got to have the TV going. We got to have the radio going. We've got to be surrounded by people. But we've got to learn how to get alone in solitude. And even in all the stuff she went through, she got alone in prayer. Guess what, y'all? And we've got to learn how to get along. Amen. Man, I thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley. He had a closet. And Lord, some stuff is coming out now that he passed away. He had a closet, man, with an Afghan, a carpet in it, right? That he would go and get alone. And another man, he invited another man in there with him. And all that you could see at the bottom was the light that was coming in the room. Amen. And the guy went in there with him, the other pastor, and he said he would pray, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and then he would stop. And then he would just groan. Then he would be silent. Prayer, listen, because prayer is just not about bringing your burdens to the Lord, but it's about hearing from God that he speaks to you. And I want to tell you, Community Baptist Church, we've got to learn how to get in that closet. We've got to learn how to get by ourselves. said my best times of praise and worship, they're not in this place. But when I'm all by myself, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. To give beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Don't just carry around that heaviness. Don't just hold on to unforgiveness. Don't just hold on to the problems. But I'm telling you, man, it's like sometime early in the morning, God will burden my heart. And I'll be laying there for you so I can sleep like a log. Hey, amen. Wouldn't nothing bother me. But now, boy, in this position, and the older I get, God has a way of burdening our hearts. Guess what, y'all? And that burden isn't meant for me to hang on to it. But that burden is meant to give it back to him. And I'm telling you, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the world, pulling down those strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of who God is. Amen. Somebody just think I'm crazy. Amen. But God is a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. He's a heart fixer. And he is a mind regulator. David said, hear my prayer, O God. And from the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me, even from the hand of the enemy. Guess what? God did this not save us just to take us to heaven, but he came to get to a place that the other wife couldn't get there, that her husband couldn't get there. And guess what, y'all? Your spouse can't meet you there. Thank God for my wife. And I love her dearly. But there's some places in me, and people that teach that are in error. Baby, we teach prayer, marriage counseling or re-counseling somebody that they might get married. Guess what? Your number one responsibility is not your spouse. Guess what, y'all? Your number one responsibility is not that child. I'm telling you. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked alone I will return. Guess what? I got to give an account. Everybody in here must give an account to the Lord. Man, guess what? My wife ain't going to be there to vouch for me. I'm going to be all by myself. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me where? In the paths of righteousness. For his what? Namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares the table before me, even in the enemy. Guess what? So many times, fickle Christians and fickle church people wait till God moves a storm to give God praise. But guess what? God did something for her before she even had Samuel. Number two, she was persistent in prayer. Verse 10, she was praying. Verse 12 shows her praying. Verse 15 shows her praying. Verse 27 shows her praying. Chapter 2, 1 to 11 shows her praying. 1 Samuel 1:10 says, and she was bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor go upon his head. And then in verse 12, she says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Y'all know Eli, man, listen. Eli wasn't wrapped too tight. Now, Eli was still God's prophet. But the fact that he didn't check his son. Amen. And the fact that they were lying with women that came. Amen. To come to the temple. And you see the degradation. And as Israel was declining, it was a lot of it was to do with the spiritual immorality in the church. Amen. When we can watch a sermon and now it's popular to cuss in the pulpit. And they're sending tracts and just Facebook clips of stuff of men just cussing in the pulpit or relating to sexualism and women and men and all this stuff. And people want to send a clip of people shouting in the club and all this stuff. Judgment is first going to start in the house of the Lord. We've got to preach the truth. Because the Bible says you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that's going to set you free. Guess what? And the number one thing in that closet, God exposes me to me. The Bible says the word is quick, sharp, powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing the son of the soul and the spirit. The joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the intents of my heart. Man, that's what the word has to do. It's got to cut us. David said, a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise. Man, that's the best place to be in. And a place of exposure. And the Bible says in verse 12, and it came to pass as she continually prayed before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, but her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through what? Prayer and what? Supplication. With thanksgiving. But prayer and supplication. A lot of times we get the prayer part, but we miss the supplication. That's when we just get to a place. Man, we just got to get crazy for the Lord. And guess what, y'all? It's not done as a public spectacle. But when you're all by yourself, God has to get you to a place where you can say, Father, I stretch my hands to you. And she was desperate. She was longing. She was hurting. But she had to give that burden over to the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 55, 2, attend unto me, Lord. Hear me, I mourn in my complaint. Make noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. David said, my heart is sore pain within me. Psalm 55, 4, same chapter. Death has fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and honor has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Then would I wander far off in the wilderness. And guess what, y'all? That's what this word of God does. Man, this word is like, beam me up, Scotty. When I give him my sins and confess my faults, and then give him my burdens and my heaviness and my pain, I'm telling you, this word will transport you into joy, into perfect peace. And I'm telling you, man, listen, when we talk about this is Mother's Day, man, I remember noonday prayer. Mother Grange, Mother Wright, Mother Boware. Amen. I keep on going. Some of the other mothers. Mother Williams. And those mothers back in the day, man, I would hear them moaning.
Yes.
And I would hear them groaning.
Yes.
And I would hear them praising God. And I went in the church and looked and I didn't see nobody. You know why? Because they were all down on their knees. Just like Deacon Wright talked about, that mother that was concerned with somebody else. Listen, a real mother ain't just concerned for her own children. A real father in the community. It's just not worried about, well, I don't know them kids. No. That's somebody else's job. No, it's all of our job. This young 23-year-old girl that was laying here a couple weeks ago, my heart went out. Because it was all of ours, daughter. We can't just be concerned about me and mine, but about somebody else's child. That they might see Christ. A father is not seen as just a father for his, but for father for the community. We need more community fathers. You want to wrong? Want to wrong? What's wrong with Philadelphia? Man, they can pump millions into Philadelphia, but until the fathers turn and repent and get back in the house and assume the responsibility. Deacon Wright just read it in prayer. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my heart. Last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens, somebody say burdens, the burdens of my heart, the things in my heart, the pain in my heart, the things that were burdening me all the way, it was there by faith. Receive my sight, and now, I gave it over to Jesus. I stopped worrying about it. Went to a meeting last night, and my heart wasn't right. Something, he's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sheriff. He's a heart fixer, and he's a mind regulator. When I get through to all it down here, I am the sunshine, I am the rain. That's why I'm home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Oh, my Lord. I'm going home to live with Jesus. It's going to be grand. But while I'm still here, while I got breath in my body, I'm going to give it to him. Hannah gave it over to the Lord. She prayed. She prayed. Amen. In verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm not drunk, but I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk wine, nor strong drink, but I have poured," hallelujah. She said, "I poured out my soul before the Lord." She poured out her soul. She just didn't briefly bend the knee. She poured out her soul. She poured out her sorrow. She poured out her disappointments. She poured out her frustrations. She poured out her depression and confusion and her embarrassments. Jesus is a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. He hid as if it were our faces from him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes. Man, I'm free. How many free? Seriously. How many are free? Listen. Take these burdens back out of this church. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Lay aside every weight and sin. That so easily besets us. Run this race with patience. Guess what, y'all? My voice gets crazy. I don't have this preaching thing down. I don't. But guess what? God don't want me to have it down. Amen? Amen. But guess what? Man, I'm going to give him my burdens. And I'm going to give him my pain. And guess what? If there's sin and guilt in your life, man, and the devil, man, guilt is a booger. Y'all know that? Man, the devil will hold stuff over your head. And the problem is, you know what the problem is? We don't really want to turn. We want the guilt to be gone, but we want to keep living in sin. We want to keep living and drinking and smoking and gossiping and all these other things. And playing the number and playing the Powerball and everything else. And what we do is we hold on to guilt. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Going to and fro. And I thank God for Minister Tobert, who talks about Christ. Man, the devil tried to put a guilt trip on me. And you know what we got to say back to him? His nail-scarred hands, stained with blood, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. Listen, God's not sitting up in heaven mad at you. Come if you're online. He's a loving heavenly Father. He wants us to bring those things to him. And when the devil tries to put the guilt trip, say, look at the cross where his blood was shed. And the burden of my heart rolled away. He's seated at the right hand of God forever. Somebody out, shout forever. Making intercession on my behalf. One God. One man. One mediator between man and God. And that is the man, Jesus Christ. And you know why the Bible calls him a man right there, even though he was God? Because guess what? He's the only one that can get to that place and feel what we feel. Perfectly. He's the only one. We got to give it to him. And he's able. And guess what, y'all? This last thing I got. When she prayed that prayer, "I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Guess what? This was bigger than her husband. And guess what? It was bigger than her being barren. And it was bigger than even her birthing a son. Anybody ever pray and you thought you wanted something? And don't get me wrong, she had a legit prayer. And God answered that prayer. But guess what? Before we go seeking a blessing, we got to seek the blesser. Too many people, relationships are contingent about what God can do for them. But the fact that she met a holy God, the fact that he overwhelmed her in her pain. Anybody ever been there where you thought you were praying for one thing? And down in my prayer, God showed me his love. He showed me his grace. He showed me his long-suffering. Paul said, I prayed 3 times that this thorn might be removed. God answered him and said, my grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities that the power might rest upon me. Let's guess what? I believe in all my heart that God delivered her to a place in him. Man, the problem could still be there. The cancer could still be there. You could still be missing your loved one. But I'm telling you, God is able. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. The peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. He will deliver you above the storm. He will deliver you above the test. He will deliver you because I saw Jesus Christ. That's why that water pot is so important. That the woman at the well, she left her water pot. She forgot what she was praying about. She forgot what she was seeking about. And she ran and said, come meet a man who told me about it. Man, he will deliver you. I'm glad. I'm serious. God will deliver you above the thorn. He will deliver you above the problem. He delivered her to a place. Because matter of fact, the next verse, you know, the priest said, go, God will bless you. And guess what? The Bible says her countenance came back. Her appetite came back. Even if it ain't done yet. God don't want no fickle Christians. Just praise him over here and praise him over there only for your blessing. But I want to know him regardless of my raggedy shirt, regardless of the money in my bank, regardless of my blessing. Don't show up. Paul says, I want to know him in the power of resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, even to be made conformable to his very death. I forgot about the problem. I'm done. But man, this fellowship, while I was seeking God for the problem, man, it blew my mind. Seriously, the things that you thought were this big, God, turn that line into a little mouse. And she did it with her and God. Stop surrounding yourself with people thinking that's the answer. And drugs and pills and gossip. And instead of going to the throne, you go to the phone. You go calling your mama your sister. Guess what this Penana girl did to me? Not a sandwich. The other wife, guess what she did? No. See, Community Baptist Church, stop it. Boy, we love to get right on the phone. Guess what the pastor said today in church? Well, he know he wrong for that. Hang up the phone. Boy, we tell five people before we take it to the Lord. We done called our mama them, Pookie them. We gotta give it. She got alone. Somebody get alone. Get alone. Get alone. Get alone. Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your sins, yes, sins, to the Lord. Turn from your wicked ways. Amen. And guess what? When you stop worrying about it, you give it to the Lord. And listen, this is not a trick message. This is not a 40-acre and a mule message. It's not about the tangible. Not trying to trick you. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what it says in the book of Timothy. Paul says in all things, seriously, I've learned how to be content. That don't mean just put up with it. No, it's a peaceful bliss and intimacy. I got a negative $500 in my bank account. But guess what? I got perfect bliss and intimacy. I just close that one and go to TD Bank and get another one. He'll keep you in perfect peace. I'm telling you. He will keep you. I'm telling you. In perfect peace. With your mind. Stayed on faith. And y'all, guess what? This is not a backwoods message either. Oh, well, you're just telling us to be poor and broke. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Guess what? Don't worry about all those other things. Man, you look back over your life, God will bless you beyond. I'm a witness. Amen. He will bless you. Stop seeking him for his hand. And seek him for this awesome love affair. Everybody in here, that's your challenge. Get in the closet. Get in that closet. Get by yourself. I'm not even talking about husband and wife prayer. That's good. I'm not even talking about family prayer. That's good too. But by somebody say by yourself. By yourself. And guess what? Guess what God did? The Bible says, and God remembered Hannah. You know why? Because it didn't matter. He gave her the desires of her heart. Because he was now her desire. Amen. Who's the apple of your eye? It's got to be him. It's got to be Jesus Christ. Let's give God a hand clap of praise as we stand to our feet in this place. David said, the Lord is my light, as we stand to our feet, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. All this stuff going on in my life, the bottom of the bottom seems to be dropping out. Though a host should encamp against me, he said, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up, can we do that song? Against me. In this will I be confident. David said, one thing that I desire. That I may what? My question is, seriously, What is your one thing? What is, seriously, what is your one thing? Your spouse? Your children? Your job? Your money? Your education? What is Jesus your one thing? I could drive a 1972 Pinto with holes in my pockets. I might come to this banquet with a raggedy suit on, with holes in my shirt. Because none of this stuff, and Reverend Williams talked, these are dead things. If there's somebody in here in this place, and you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, you can come right now and give your life to Christ. Is there one? Song says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the rose. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Amen. Is there one? Is there one that would like to come for restoration and you need to be restored back to where the Lord wants and knows you to be? You can also come. Is there one for restoration? You can come. Rededication. You can also come. Amen. 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 Is there another? Is there another? Is there another?
With me, he walks with me.